everybody, and welcome back to Brainstorm Brewery. This is an extra special episode this week because we have a lot to talk about. We have everyone together this week. Myself, Jason, our sub-host Douglas Johnson here, who has a pretty exciting thing himself to talk about. But first, let's start things off with an email following up from last week, because I know that everyone wants to hear this.
You couldn't sound smarmier. You're so happy to read this email. Hey, everybody.
I'm excited for this email.
Welcome to the podcast. You're doing your morning zoo crew voice because you just can't contain.
I don't know what that means.
You can't contain your
when you did that. When you did that impression, though, I thought more the clown from from Billy Madison.
Okay.
That's where I immediately went when you do that voice.
Should I just read this?
Yeah, read the email.
This is from... I don't think they're a patron, but whatever.
Why are you reading?
Fine. It'll just make Jason even more upset. So this is from Adam.
We're reading emails from a poor. That's ridiculous.
This is from Adam about the flat Earth discussion last week. Hey guys, I get that you think it's the craziest thing ever. It's fucking insane to even entertain the possibility. Two things though, actually three. Number one, I love your podcast. Keep it up. Thanks, Adam. Number two, YouTube search Flat Earth Clues by Mark Sargent. Watch or just listen to it, and then if you think the Earth flat Earth is nonsense, well, at least you heard their point of view instead of just bashing while thinking the model is water flowing off the edges. Number three, need to rethink the Shaq calling every adult coach statement. Most athletes have degrees and not just to pass areas in college. It's actually quite the condensation to think that somebody is making millions in professional sports instead of 100K a year using their degree for employment that they just must be muscular idiots. Anyway, thanks, guys, for your podcast. It's one of the favorites I click on in GGCast every week. Thanks, Adam.
So you reward him with his listening by including the typo condensation instead of condescension.
Yep.
That's what you do to him?
Yep.
That's messed up, man.
I didn't mean to condense to Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, so first of all, no, I'm not going to entertain their scientific views. The same thing, I'm not going to go look at anti-vax bullshit or doomsday prep or whatever, like anti-scientific fringe idiot dipshit view.
Hey, doomsday prep is just smart, man.
Yeah, we owe the Chinese money, and then the Chinese could be like, hey, pay us back, and then we can't. Then our money's going to collapse, and that's why I took a storage unit, put it in my yard, and filled it with MREs. Okay, man, whatever. Well,
alternatively, he could not have a storage unit full of MREs and then starve when something bad happens.
That's true.
That's just smart.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I actually, this is funny. I was watching that show, Doomsday Preppers, because it was really funny. And it's all like,
I'm not going to entertain their views, Jason 2017, as he watches Doomsday Preppers.
Yeah, to laugh at them, it's really entertaining.
For entertainment, as you say, you're okay.
That's not what, oh my God, that's not what entertain means in that context, you flat earther. That's my go-to now. So first of all, I'm not gonna look at their dipshit fringe anti-scientific stuff. I will watch Doomsday Prep and laugh at those people. This guy, like, in the first episode, blew part of his thumb off dicking around with guns, which I thought was super. He's like, oh, we ready for the apocalypse, and he blows his own fucking thumb off. It was so much fun. So, I guess I could educate myself, but I don't have time to, like, look up crystals and all kind of fringe crap. Like, oh, did you know if you do a saltwater enema, it'll... Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to look it up. I'm trying to find this right now on YouTube. What's the name of the guy I'm supposed to look up?
Mark Sargent.
Don't look it up now. Do it after the podcast.
Obviously, I just wanted to type it in before I forgot.
Mark Sargent, isn't that the guy from Double Dare? Anyway, what was his second point? That Shaq isn't an idiot? No, Shaq's an idiot. I'm sure lots of athletes are very smart. Some of them are, you know, getting hard degrees and they don't even have to, and they like go make $25 million a season in the NFL, and they're like, oh, I could go be a physician's assistant if I want to. I'm not saying all athletes are dipshits. I'm saying Shaquille O'Neal specifically, real fucking stupid. But hey, we decided last week he's got way more education than me, so what do I know? I'm not even using my degree. What was the third point?
Well,
that he loves our cast.
Oh, well, that's fine. Become a patron then.
Somebody on Twitter also weighed in and said that it's because Shaquille O'Neal has a good agent. Well, here's the thing, man. They all have good agents, and yet they don't all do what Shaquille O'Neal does.
They don't all have good agents, man. Half the time it's like let your brother be your agent. Like, you would think that Dane Cook wouldn't be that much of an idiot.
That happens very rarely these days.
Dude, it happens all the time. What was the name of that Jack Johnson from the Columbus Blue Jackets, his parent has embezzled all his money. You get all tied up with family. You get all your friends from the neighborhood like, man, invest in my car wash. Like,
yes.
Watch the ESPN documentary Broke, man. Don't tell me they all make good business decisions. There's a whole documentary about...
No, of course not. I'm saying that's exactly my point. They don't all make good decisions. Shaquille O'Neal does. That literally was my point. But on that note, though, all the major leagues now do have sort of an intro that everyone before, like it's like either everyone who's drafted or before they enter the league, just like their rookie sort of thing that they have to go to within the league. And they have all these discussions from people like, I guess, this Jack Johnson guy. I don't know about that particular one, but the same story, right, where they make really bad decisions and get mixed up in the wrong thing and they try to, because it's a really bad look for any professional league if their players are broke 5 years after they leave.
I think Shaq's got too much money to blow, though. Like, I don't think he could ever spend all of his money. And, like, certainly there are a lot of people, like, I know personally Magic Johnson bought, like, all the Starbucks in East Lansing, so he just, like, rakes in money doing stuff like that. So a lot of them just, like, are in the right place at the right time and just have the investment capital to do make big moves like that. But, man, I'm not going to, like, take mortgage advice from Shaq or something like that. Like, you know, but good for him for not being broke, I guess. So,
and not being a flat earther. Someone also linked us proof on Twitter where he did come out later and say that he was joking and, in fact, called people stupid for thinking that he really was a flat earther.
Well, he could say that after it was super embarrassing that everyone's like, why are you a flat earther?
Sure, that's it.
Idiot?
Yeah, that's it. Because he didn't know when he was a flat earther in the first place that it might be embarrassing.
I don't. Man, do you think anyone tells Shaquille O'Neal no? He's like, hey, man, we'll do a movie where I'm a genie. And they're like, that sounds great, Shaq. No one's told him no in his life.
That movie was great.
The man's
great.
9.5 feet tall. You're going to tell Shaq no?
Kobe did.
Exactly.
Anyway, there's a lot of Magic stuff to talk about.
Thank you for your email, even though it personally rebuked me. We still read it on the cast because we value your input. Thank you for listening.
All right, moving from bad news from Jason to good news for DJ. You got your Black Lotus back?
Okay, so I sent my Lotus in to get graded about a week or so after I bought it. I got some help from Dave Smith on Twitter. He deals with a lot of old school stuff, a lot of high-end stuff. And he said, wow, that Lotus looks really nice. You should get it graded. And he sort of walked me through the whole process. It took a little longer than I thought it would because apparently BGS changed their system and they're like, we can add 5 days to any of your orders to make it take longer without putting that in anywhere in our website. So took a little while, but I got my Lotus back. It's a 9.5 out of 10, which if you don't deal in graded cards, that's very, very hard to get. It increases the value exponentially. So
remind us, remind everyone. So for people who may, want to own nice cards someday if they don't already own them, what would you have put the value of that Lotus at, just say you were, you know, selling it on the open market before compared to now that it's graded?
Sure. So before it was graded, I was told that I should probably get around like 4,800, 4,500 around there. And now that I got it back as a 9.5, I am looking to get it around 8,500 to 8,700.
Say what?
Yeah, because it's a 9.5, and so.
But didn't you decrease the amount of people who would potentially be interested because it can't be played with?
Potentially, yes.
But you're thinking even though it will take you longer to move it, you'd rather have 8,500 in 6 months than 4,800 this week.
Correct. And another interesting thing I learned about graded cards, because this is the first time I've had a card graded. I've never owned anything worth grading. This just happened to come along out of that collection I've been finding. And so the guy who sold this to me, I don't know if I mentioned this in the cast, but I paid $3,000 cash, $250 trade. So obviously this is a very good deal for me. And when I send this in, I just completely forgot what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought.
You're talking about how you learned about grading. Is it your first process?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is why you aren't a permanent host. I just want to point that out.
You guys derailed me.
By not talking?
Yeah, he expected the interruption, and when he didn't get interrupted rudely by Jason, okay. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm good.
That's a thing, actually.
I agree.
Okay, so I learned this.
Would it help you if I interrupted you?
DJ thinks we're going to cut that from the cast. We're definitely not.
Nope.
Okay. So I learned a little something about graded cards, and that's that once you get them back, you can actually check the population report and see exactly how many cards exist that are graded by BGS of that card ID and of that grade.
Ooh, that's awesome.
You can go online right now and look exactly how many 8.5 unlimited Black Lotuses exist in the world that are graded by BGS. There's BGS, and then there's PSA for card grading. Like 95% of you people use BGS because it's just overall better. So I went on and I looked on. I figured, wow, how many 9.5 unlimited Lotuses are there? There's 24, like in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. Like if you go a little bit lower, if you're like, how many 9.0 Black Lotuses in the world? There's like 105.
I think this speaks to how many are graded more than anything else, to be honest.
Well, I mean, certainly. But it's also
sure, but
the market for people who want graded cards is commensurate with how many have been graded, at least. So it's actually way lower than you might have thought.
Right. So it's definitely something. There's not a whole lot of these flying around. When we were trying to figure out an approximate price range, I did check eBay real quick. Dan Bach has one. He has a 9.5 Black Lotus. It's almost the same as mine, but okay. So another side note, if you use BGS, they use four different grading systems to calculate right. what the card should get. So there's centering, which is how the picture lines up on the card. There's the edges of it, like for wear and tear, corners, and surface. So there's four different grades it can get. Mine got a 9 on edges and a 9.5 on everything else, which, based on what I'm hearing, edges are sort of the most important, universally agreed on. Like, if a card has worse edges, it's generally graded harsher than something that right. has, like, a 9 for centering or a 9 right. for quarters or whatever. But honestly, it really depends on the person. Like,
would you say you might that's, find... not to interrupt too much, but to interrupt a little, would you say that's that is because edges have more to do with how the card was handled by the person who had it previously, whereas centering is something that you have no control of as a card owner?
Exactly.
I think so, but exactly. Just by talking to Dave, like, there's some people who are diehards for one specific grade. Like, Dave was telling me he wants all of his cards to have perfect centering just because, like, that's something you don't have control over. And because, like, the card, like, couldn't have been edited in any way, or there was no way to make it so it could have been better or worse.
So, you've really gone full on Ryan Bouchard. You deal with nothing but, like, crappy cards worth 50 cents and cards worth $5,000.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Neither do we. Either.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's great. Like, on my desk right now, there's, like, only a few Magic cards on it because most of the stuff's at the shop. But, like, out of the few cards that are on my desk, I have this Black Lotus in my hand, and then I have a pile of those Lorwyn Islands that are worth, like, a dollar each that I don't know what to deal yep. with.
Exactly.
So, like, that's the range of my Magic expertise is, like, crappy Lorwyn common islands. And then now I'm getting into unlimited graded power, so I guess that's cool.
I continue to hold out the pipe dream of one day a Lotus walking into my store. Hasn't ever happened, but maybe one day.
So yeah, if you're interested in graded unlimited power, hit me up on Twitter, send me a DM, maybe work something out.
Yeah, he's the guy, yeah. He's dealt with it one time, so.
He's the expert now.
You should definitely hit him up of all people on Twitter.
I mean, I'm more of an expert than Corbin. Corbin was scared that I was going to lose money on this thing.
I don't recall ever saying that.
Yeah, he doesn't care about you. So I don't understand why he would be scared for you.
Yeah, that's weird.
That doesn't sound like him at all.
How much did it cost?
To get graded?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another interesting point that I learned a lot about. So getting the card actually graded is really cheap. You can choose from three or four different services depending on how long or how much of a rush you want to put on it. So if you want it within like 3 or 4 business days, it's like $25 or $30. And if you're willing to like wait about a week or two, I think I chose the 10-day shipping option. And then they ended up adding 5 more businesses onto that, but it was like $15.
Wow.
They paid a dude who's an expert to scrutinize that card with a jeweler's loop, and you paid him $15?
I mean, that guy spent 2 minutes on it, though.
Here's the trick, is that, like, the actual cost for me is, like, $150 because it costs, like, $80 to ship this thing there, and then I pay, like, $80 to get it shipped back.
Why? Because of insurance?
Because of insurance and tracking and, like, everything. So, like,
yeah, you just got to drive that thing there, man.
When I shipped it out, I ended up valuing it at, like, $5,000 because I expected it, based on the conversation I had with Dave, I thought it was going to get, like, an 8.5 or a 9. He said, okay, valued at $5,000 for insurance. And so insurance is $10 flat or up to whatever, and then you pay $10 more for extra $1,000 you want for insurance. So it's $60 for insurance each way, and then with all the tracking, like, costs and size and, like, package and everything, like, I ended up, like, mummifying it and bubble wrap and all that stuff, so, like, It was a lot of money to ship it both ways, but in terms of actual grading costs, it's not a whole lot of money because, like, I don't know.
Like, so he does nothing but grade cards all day. Yeah. I mean, it probably takes him 2 minutes to spit out a number. But what you're saying is drive it to BGS.
Yeah, or if you're the person
they come
who,
to
like,
cons, actually, you can they like oh, set really? Up both. I think it's mostly for comic books. I don't think they send their card graders to cons, but I've seen their book graders just like sitting at the booth just going through a big stack with these white gloves on.
Oh, BGS is Beckett Grading Services. Is that true?
Yeah, Beckett.
I've heard both BGS and Beckett and never actually connected the two because I've obviously never had a reason to get a card graded.
Obviously.
All right.
Yeah. But it's also like a lot cheaper if you're shipping a bunch of cards at once, obviously. Right, so like right. Dave's like shipping like 30 or 40 cards over there at once to get graded, so that makes it a lot cheaper, obviously, but
sounds like anybody who wants to know about this should be contacting Dave and not you.
Cool. Yeah, they should.
We should get Dave to be the next to replace Ryan on the cast. That guy sounds interesting.
Yeah, but who are you going to have to tell you about Lorwyn Islands after that?
That was legitimately helpful advice. That's probably the most useful thing you've ever contributed, because I had some of them in a box and I went and found them.
You were useful one and time, and then I sold about them. the same rate as people who send us emails.
All right, let's move on to Breaking Bolt.
Let's move on to my weekend, which you just like skimmed over. Just because I didn't talk about it during the precast doesn't mean I have don't have stuff to
just
talk
because
about.
When I said, hey, what do you guys want to talk about this weekend, and you said nothing about it, I should have known about it.
Yeah.
Good point. Go on.
That's exactly what happened. I played Magic the Gathering.
And you did very poorly.
I went 2-3 in a format that I've never played before. I played it once, Jesus. I think, like 2 years ago. So what happened was we ran a tournament that was 75 proxy vintage. And if that sounds like it's for poors, it kind of is. I definitely had my entire deck proxied. My deck's valued at approximately $1 million because it was all custom foils made by a proxy guy. He's the proxy guy on Twitter. He does very excellent work. He made a custom expansion symbol based on feedback from his Twitter followers and our listeners. That should be my face that like on a comedy mask, and it looks tight. I tweeted pictures of the deck. I will tweet more pictures of the deck if you want. Like, the deck looked hot. I did pretty well. It pooped on me a little bit. And vintage is hard, it turns out. Like, if you're not prepared for runner force of will, which you shouldn't have to be prepared for, sometimes it catches you by surprise. Sometimes you don't know what other people are playing. Sometimes you play a whole game with someone and still don't know what they're playing. And then they come out of the board and beat you. So vintage is a crazy format. If you can play it, play it. For stuff like Legacy, we're like, hey, go buy a cheap deck like Burn and keep grinding and keep playing until you can, like, afford the more expensive stuff. But for something like Vintage, you would think those people would be snobs. The first time I ever played Vintage, it was a proxy tournament, and I had, like, seriously sharpied on basics. And I walked into the store, and my, like, second round opponent was Kevin Crone, the co-host of So Many Insane Plays. That's a great podcast. It's just entertaining. even if you don't know anything about vintage, but if you like vintage, it's a fantastic podcast. I recommend it. And Kevin's a great guy. And I kind of sat down from across from him, and he has all like black border duels and shit. And I'm like, man, he's going to be so mad if I beat him with this like Sharpie on basics pile. And sure enough, I did end up winning. And he was super cool about it because he's like, look, I get to play vintage. So it's, you would think that those guys would be like snobs, like, oh, a bunch of poor want to play with us.
I would not think that people desperate to play their preferred format would ever be snobs about.
And they were just glad to be playing vintage. And honestly,
they have to beg people to play.
Yeah, having your pimped out deck, it's everyone's still interested. Even the dude with the basic lands with Sharpie on him was still like, man, that looks hot. And I want to own vintage cards now, which is dumb. I shouldn't do it. I'll do it again. I think they're going to make it a monthly thing. We had about 20 people show up, I think. We'll probably get more next time. And I barely missed cut to top 8.
If I ever visit you in your little town that doesn't have clean water, I might bring... I don't actually have a deck put together.
But don't you have like a Canadian Threshold deck or Canadian Highlander?
Yeah, you could bring your Canadian Highlander deck, Corbin. Would you?
Wow, that was pretty savage, guys.
the town with no clean water, I think you're referring to like dozens of towns in Oklahoma that have dirty water from fracking, which is why you have 10,000 earthquakes a year. Is that the town you're referring to with no clean water?
Those things aren't related.
Okay.
Good. I mean, it was a good try, but they're not actually related. I have a playset of bazaars and like a playset of like foil blood gas and serum powders and all this stuff to like actually build vintage dredge if I wanted to. But obviously, I've never had a reason to because I don't think any vintage tournament has ever been played in Oklahoma or something. So,
I mean, it's something a store could do. You can't sanction it. There's no official DCI prize support. It's not a real thing.
I show up with real cards.
But man, like people who have never played vintage before, why not? Why not let people play in the event?
The only thing is they made a big push for vintage on Magic Online a few years ago when they did Eternal Masters online, and they still couldn't fire dailies after like a month.
Which is too bad because like vintage was kind of affordable for what it's not now. You look online for like what a vintage deck is on Modo. It's insane.
It was better. It's just, you know, there's no organized play tied to it, and there can't be because of cost, and it's still expensive. It's still the most expensive no matter how you cut it. So like,
and it's a very difficult format.
Just is what it is.
Yeah. So the people that get to play vintage any way they can, they're super happy about it. And I don't want to hear anybody implying that I've started down the slippery slope to saying, hey, go buy Chinese fakes and play Legacy. I'm not saying that.
I mean, I would hope nobody would do that because I don't know if people listening have actually seen Proxy Eye cards. One, they have not for sale written all over them. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a big difference.
Never buy proxies. Mine were a gift because Proxy Guy is the shit. I mean, he just gave me the entire deck for free, and he would never, ever sell a proxy, and I would never, ever buy a proxy. So,
confirmed.
Don't be a piece of shit, but maybe think about having some fun playing a format that you don't know anything about.
Let's break bulk.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time. Break.
Let's do the whole guessing game, because I like that. It's fun.
It's a pick. Breaking bulk. The end.
I got a good one this week.
Have you?
I bet you do. Is it Black Unlimited Black Lotus? Go ahead, DJ. We're all waiting on you.
Oh, mine's... Okay. Mirrodin Besieged, colorless card. Uncommon.
Mirrodin Besieged...
Well, it's not... Yeah, it's not technically an uncommon, I guess.
Is it...
What? What does not technically an uncommon mean?
Is it the pristine talisman thing?
No.
Pistons?
Throne of Geth.
Oh, Throne of Geth would be a good guess.
It's not an uncommon. It's not an uncommon.
Well, what does that mean? Is it common then? You just threw us off?
What is it?
It is a token.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Is it a germ?
Nope. Germs are worthless.
It's a poison counter?
Nope. It's made by a white card.
Oh, and it's colorless, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying it's colorless because it's a token, or it represents something colorless?
It represents a colorless card, like an artifact token.
Made by a white card. Man, I'm going to feel real dumb when you say it, aren't I?
So there's a card called Phyrexian something something. It's a 6-drop sorcery, and it's Wrath of God.
Phyrexian Rebirth. Unlife. The horror.
Yeah. Rebirth.
It's not Unlife. It's Rebirth. Rebirth.
The Wrath.
Yeah.
That gives them like an XX.
The horror token from that card is like worth $1.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Cool. I actually advocate playing Phyrexian Rebirth in EDH articles, but I don't know the name of it.
In my Carador deck.
I like big dirtly wrath like that. I would rather play a 5 or 6 mana wrath with value than play 4 mana wrath of God. It's just...
Well, yeah, you don't usually need a wrath of board on turn 4.
That's why everyone's like, we want damnation for EDH. I'm like, you have Decree of Pain. What are you bitching about?
Yeah. Interesting. That's a pretty good one, actually.
Man, I didn't even know.
Is there a buy list on it?
I have never been super good with buy lists and tokens, but I know if you throw them on TCG Player, then you have a decent shot of dumping them.
Making $1, sure.
Plus, that person will buy your copy of Phyrexian Rebirth too, maybe.
Ooh. I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna come in with. I want to talk about a Masters because that's what people have a lot of, and there's a lot of sort of obvious ones. You know, obviously we can talk about Flicker Wisp or Molten Rain or Spell Pierce or even Harmonize or whatever, but I want to hit one that people maybe didn't know about in the first place, but I think is going to have a chance to pick up a bunch and watch a rebound later, and that's Wall of Denial.
Oh yeah, that card always ends up over $1. Eventually.
Yeah, it had 3 printings before this, and it was still $2. So now, these are obviously left in trash piles of Mono Masters 2017 all the time. And it'll
Can't
be dollar
you just say
again
2017?
In a year and a half.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
I'm not getting into this again. Anyways, that's my pick. It's worth noting, we talked about Boros Charm in Commander 2016, and it actually got bought out this week and went, from whatever, $2, like $5, $6, which is partially people playing Burn in San Antonio, probably just an actual buyout of the card. But it's the same idea that
Goblin
because it's a recent reprint and it has a lot of printings, doesn't mean it won't still be worth money. So Wall of Denial is definitely a good one to pull out of your bulk.
I think Goblin Guide gives a lot of upside to a lot of Burn stuff because... It's so funny that like the cheapest deck stops being the cheapest deck once like the one expensive card gets reprinted.
Well, and they also printed or are printing Rift Bolt as like 3 copies of it or something in the dual deck.
Yep.
Or in the intro deck or one of those things.
Oh, it's in the Joyra dual deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Joyra.
I think we both pronounce it wrong.
That's entirely possible.
I call it Jhoira.
Jhoira! Jumping Jhoira fat. Cool.
Hey, Jason, go ahead.
In the vein of stuff that's been reprinted and reprinted again and is still expensive, this was originally in Shadowmoor, and it had 2 printings after Shadowmoor, and it is a white uncommon.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't... It's in Shadowmoor.
Shadowmoor, and I'll tell you the other side.
White.
Sets. Plane Chase and Original Commander. A white uncommon.
And
it was in Zedru.
Mist Meadow Witch?
White. Mono white. 1 colorless, 2 white.
Okay.
1 colorless, 2
Don't tell
white.
Me.
Prison Term.
Prison Term? It is.
Okay, yep.
Above $1.
Yeah, that's always been a good one.
And it's just sort of like, they print an arrest effect in every set, and this is just this set's arrest effect. Yeah, bleh, whatever.
Nope. Prison Term's awesome.
Real card.
No, that card's super good.
Real money.
So what it does, if people don't know, it's 3 mana, like you said, 1 and 2 white. It's a passive, or it's not even arrest, right? Because arrest is just a can't attack or block. Whatever. It's a enchant creature, 3 mana. Can't attack or block, and activate abilities can't be played. So, like, face feathers.
Face feathers, huh? Corbin knows exactly feathers. What the card does because he typed white plane chase uncommon into Google.
Oh, I definitely did not, dude. No, I started playing in Shadowmoor. Like, my very first, like, pack of Magic cards was Shadowmoor.
What do you know
I
the exact card my, text? Like,
I had my, like, 68-card casual deck with prison terms in them.
Oh, man.
So that's how I was able to pull
prison term,
off. But so what it does, it has that, but then it says when a creature comes into play under an opponent's control, you may move prison term to that creature. That's what sets it apart.
You're definitely not reading the text right now.
When a creature comes into play under an opponent's control, you may attach prison term to that creature.
What's the flavor text?
Clear out the cell, bring in the next prisoner?
That's good memory.
I'm not memorizing it at this point. I named it, and then I looked up the price like I do on all of these, so I can look at a trajectory after we talk about it.
I got your trajectory right here.
All right, good point.
I don't even know what you're trying to do at this point, Jason.
Anyways, that's a good call. Prison term is sweet.
That's what I'm doing. He's a dirty card looker-upper during our guessing game.
I promise you I did not.
He looked it up after.
Okay.
Okay. Good effort, Jason. Good effort.
And Shaq thinks the world is round. Tell me another one.
Sometimes Corbin can actually beat me in the Breaking Bulk race. Sometimes it happens once in a while.
Yeah. Confirmed. Look through a lot of cards myself. All right. So that's a good pick, though, Jason. You trolled, but it was a good pick. All right. Now let's talk about what everyone probably actually wants us to talk about, and we put it off for a little bit to have fun because but we have Almond Cat spoilers, and they're kind of sweet.
Yeah.
So before we dive into super specifics here, I'll give the broad overview. We're looking at, you know, our Egyptian set. There's two. Good point. There's a couple mechanics we know about. Exert, which I think is really cool. As a creature attacks, you can exert it, which means it will not untap during your next untap step, and it gives you an extra effect. I really like it because I saw the full art, the game day card that says you can exert it as it attacks. And I was like, oh, I know what that does without ever having actually seen reminder text on it because it just made sense. You know,
there was a World of Warcraft card game mechanic where you like double tapped a creature. So if it was tapped, you untapped it. And if it was double tapped, you untapped it. Or you'd like turn it to tapped, basically. And everybody was guessing that that's what it was. So I was like, I will be contrarian and guess that it's put a -1/-1 counter on it when it attacks. So
that would have been interesting.
Would have been a
too.
Nice angle shot because I would have been like the only one that thought that. That would have been cool. But now everyone just thinks I'm a moron on Twitter. But I prove that on a daily basis anyway. So I'm not too concerned.
That's true. I think it's a cool mechanic. It makes sense. It's honestly, I was pleasantly surprised by how simple it is. And yet, you know, how like cool it seems. It seems like it'll make for good gameplay. It's an interesting decision. And, you know, we're almost 25 years in Magic's history. The fact that we get something that's just like, oh, that just makes sense. It's not as complicated as the next one I'm going to talk about.
And there was never a double tap before that. That's the crazy thing. Like, yeah. How did it take them 25 years to make such a simple mechanic that other card games have already done?
Right.
It's almost like Magic still has design space left.
Yeah, and this next one pushes it because it's Embalm. So, like, from a flavor standpoint, it's really cool. If a creature's in your graveyard, maybe more than creatures, I guess. I'm not sure. But we've seen it on a creature. You can embalm it for a mana cost. What that means is sort of what you'd expect flavor-wise. You exile it, and you get a copy of it, a mummified version of it. It comes back as a white zombie, which is interesting that the zombies are white in this set. But it comes back as a white zombie.
Because they got bandages on, and bandages are white.
Yeah. And you can put an embalm. They all come with their own token.
That leads me to believe there won't be a ton of these, right?
No, it'll probably be like double-faced cards.
Like
there's like a dozen of them.
Maybe 15, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like you said, I think gameplay wise it'll be fine, right? It's flashback for creatures. It's a different take on flashback for creatures.
It's loyal,
than, say,
it's loyal Cathar, kinda.
Yeah, it's like it's Unearth that sticks around. It's all kinds of different things, right? So I think it's kind of cool. It is kind of complicated. It definitely leads to some complicated board states.
I mean, it's intuitive, yeah, though. It's cool. It's not like complicated like some mechanics are where it's just needlessly a bunch of words on them. It's like you exile it and you get your guy back.
It's the fumbling of all the tokens, or dice, or you know, punched out stuff or whatever. I think what's going to happen.
Punch cards. Can we talk about those?
Well, so the good thing about the punch card, and this is what's going to happen, is people aren't going to pull up all of these. They're not going to sit there with like 15 tokens or whatever of all the embalmed cards they might have. They're just going to take the creature card out of their graveyard, put it in play, and put the embalmed counter on it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually kind of a nice little solution, even if it's weird that the punch card exists. It has brick counters because we're building a wall. Very timely of them.
I don't get it.
Okay. Good point. So yeah, we also saw the terrible. I'm not even gonna read them because one, that's blurry text, but two, whatever. They're bad, expensive planeswalkers from intro decks or planeswalker decks. There's the split card, which Mythic Spoiler has as part of the set. It's honestly probably real, but we don't have official confirmation yet. Where it does one thing from your hand and another thing from your graveyard when you cast
that. Was in packs, man. That was in they put them in Modern Masters packs, so people would open them playing Modern Masters Limited.
Well, why there's no English version of it?
Yeah,
no, like, because somebody opened it in like a Spanish pack or something.
No, they've
right.
They had. I heard confirmation that somebody opened the Spanish version in like an American draft.
Oh wow!
So maybe they just used the Spanish printing to sprinkle a few out and leak. Honestly, I think it's really cool if they do that. The first time we thought it was an accident, and maybe it was.
It was like a Simic card, right? Back in Gatecrash was the first time.
It was a conspiracy thing.
No. Like,
right?
We've been doing this since like Gatecrash. I swear, there's like Simic's Flux Mage or something was like the first card that was opened at like an RTR game like day or something.
First
like
one
that.
I remember.
Are you like trying to trigger me with Merfolk from Gatecrash? Is that what we're doing here? Hashtag #4Merfolk?
For Merfolk.
Yeah, oh, it was man. Like the uncommon Merfolk. That
no, I know what you're talking about, Simic Flux Mage. Or whatever. I think that was the first. I don't think that's what happened. I thought the first time they did it was conspiracy because it was flavorful. I think I don't know. It's hard to tell. It honestly is hard to tell that if it's an accident or not. Like, if it was on purpose, there would have definitely been an English version of this card.
Not necessarily.
It could have been like... It could have been an accident the first couple of times they did it, and they were like, yeah.
People love it.
We totally did that on purpose. Let's start doing that.
I mean, it's like kind of – it's like guerrilla marketing tactics sort of thing. I can definitely see it being something that they wanted to try, but I think it's really weird that if they were going to do this, there were literal zero English versions put out in the world. It feels more like an accident to me, but you know, you never know. Because they've been very careful over the past few years to very narrowly release cards and have it all under their plan. So leaking a major mechanic that you then don't talk about when you talk about the other mechanics, it just doesn't seem to fit any sort of marketing plan that would exist.
I don't know. Because
it took away hype from Modern Masters. Like, that's not – I don't think that's how they work.
It didn't take away hype at all, man. It just, like, added to the hype. Like, there was additional hype. They just created more hype. They didn't spend hype. They just doubled their hype, man.
I disagree. I disagree entirely because you don't want people talking about Almond Cat when Modern Masters is out.
This is all academic anyway.
Modern Masters is going to sell out anyway.
Yeah, and it's not like they can go out and buy Almond Cat boosters instead of Modern Masters. Modern Masters is like all they had access to, but it was something fun to talk about while you're waiting for your draft to fire or whatever. So, you know what? If they did this on purpose, more power to it. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We obviously don't know and are never gonna know. But, I mean, so the set seems interesting, right? It's the mechanics seem interesting. It's gonna be a graveyard set.
Cycling.
There's minus one counters. Living End is already spiking.
Yep.
If you can get any cheap, do it. And Living End actually also got the expertises, Karizev's expertise. Or no, I guess it's a different expertise because you need to... No, that works. Yeah, that's what it was. Karizev's expertise has also made its way into that deck. It's a way to get Living Ends out of your hand. So, you know, if we get... What the deck really needs is one mana cyclers. So depending on what cycling looks like in Amonkhet, then Living End could get a nice little push. But either way, the price is moving.
This demon's pretty tight. Actually, I don't know. I brewed with the demon.
It's kind of sweet.
For standard or?
No, EDH. Dog. I'm brew standard. What do you think I am?
Well, like, how do you brew a deck around like a I don't know. It doesn't seem like a brew.
One rare demon from a set, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's additional design space, so you figure out a deck that you want to have doing cycling stuff, and then you figure out, like, which black cards would go in the deck, because obviously you got to run black, and then you got to figure out a general, and then, hey, your deck's built. By the time you do all that crap, you're like, you're done.
Sure. I mean, this is maybe a little off topic, but, I mean, do people see, like, this card, this one demon rare from, that's an intro pack rare from Mom and Cat, and they're like, time to build my new commander deck?
Not necessarily not, especially since this is just the first cycling card we've seen. You don't have to necessarily have this be the one card that takes you from not having a cycling deck at all, which isn't very good, to having a cycling deck. But it'll get people hyped about that, and if there's more support for cycling, which obviously there will be, if you have a deck where you do that kind of crap, this is a very good card for that, because you can just wipe their whole board. If you Windfall,
okay,
or like Wheel of Fortune or anything, you wipe their board with this guy.
I mean, that's true. I don't disagree that the card is sweet. So for people who don't know, we're talking about the 5/4 demon, Archfiend of Ifnir? I don't know how we're supposed to. It's a 5/4 flyer for 5. Whenever you cycle or discard another card, put a -1 counter on each creature your opponents control. And it has cycling itself for 2 mana. It's an incredibly powerful ability, that's for sure.
Gonna get people hype about cycling.
I mean, yeah, I would play this in Living End. I could probably put one in. I mean, it's a 2 mana cycler and it's a 5/4 flyer with evasion, so it has evasion. So maybe you just run more of them. Like maybe you're replacing your jungle spiders, jungle weavers with this, because that deck does occasionally have issues, especially in game one, where you will pull off a Living End, but whether your opponent's just rebuilt after or had some other way to get their own creatures in the graveyard, or you had to do it so early that, you know, it didn't do much for you, you do actually get into weird little board stalls with Living End sometimes, and this is definitely a breaker.
I had to cast an attack with Simeon Spirit Guide one time.
Yeah. Living End was the first extended deck I ever played. Love that deck. Still have it built. And now it's a reasonable modern deck.
Say all the spiky people are buying all the spiky cards, but I still think there's some EDH stuff that could be on the move.
Well, like what then?
Well, my pick of the week was going to be Fluctuator because it's super old and it's super... I mean, it was banned in block. It's not something they are super jazzed about reprinting, so I think it's kind of safe. And, you know, I think it's Fluctuator lets you cheat with cycling stuff. It's great.
Astral Slide, bro.
I mean, Astral Slide's a real card, so that's... I had a deck back in the day. I had an Astral Slide deck with Eternal Witness, and I would just cast Plow Under every turn.
Yeah, there's an FNM promo Astral Slide that's bulk.
I mean, Astral Slide was a deck in Extended, like, as recently as, like, 5 years ago, I think.
So. Extended didn't exist 5 years ago.
It couldn't have been longer than 5 years ago. What year was 5 years ago? 2012? Oh, shit.
I wanted to let you get to that year-old moment on your own.
Oh, my God. Like, the 1990s were, like, 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, everything's terrible. New Kids on the Block are still touring. I don't understand. What happened to the 90s?
You have a kid.
I'm so old. I do have a kid. So that doesn't necessarily make me old. I've heard of some 12-year-olds.
No, but the fact that you think that Astral Slide was an extended deck 5 years ago makes you old.
Well, how long ago was it?
Well, Modern premiered in like 2011 or something.
Oh, really? So it was at least 6 years?
So...
Or seven? Man, I've been playing Magic forever.
Yep.
Like I said.
I've been playing since 1996, so that's what, 11 years? I've been playing Magic a long time.
Yep.
Wow, 11 years.
That's half of how old I am.
DJ, that was the joke. I've been playing Magic for 21 years. That is a significant portion of how old you are.
So to answer your question, though, because I looked it up, it was officially retired as a sanctioned format on August 7th, 2013. However, it went to double standard.
Yeah.
I'm talking sometime before that.
The actual
extended. So it's been at least like 6 or 7 years at a minimum.
Wow. That's crazy.
So 2010 is when it became double standard.
Oh, man.
So, and Astral Slide was not a deck when I started playing Extended in 2010. So we're going back at least 8 years here.
No, it could have been 7.
It was in Onslaught. So let's see when we figure out Onslaught rotated out.
No, that
Onslaught rotated out in 2009.
That's nothing to do with it. I was playing like Lorwyn cards.
I cannot believe you guys are arguing this right now.
No, this is it. Rotated out. Onslaught rotated out of Extended in 2009, Jason. It was 8 years ago.
Man,
you got to twist the knife. I'm not 30, so I got to twist the knife, and everyone who is.
You will be 30. It'll happen. What? Unless you die, you'll be 30.
Okay. I got a year to ride that train, man. I figure I'll have at least a few 29th birthdays.
Okay.
So I'm good to go.
Is that a move you picked up from watching Sex and the City or something?
Sure. I don't even know what that is because I'm not as old as you.
Okay. No, that Sex and the City movie just came out 5 years ago in 2008.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Okay, so the other thing we know about Amonkhet is, and this is, there's all the masterpieces are getting spoiled this week, and we're sitting here the day before they get spoiled talking about them, but,
and you're sitting called, here a week they, after they got spoiled listening to us talk about them.
We'll keep it brief. DJ, what are they called?
Invocations.
This is where we sound stupid for no benefit. What do we think they are?
You could just record a day later. Invocation sounds like instants and sorceries to me.
Agreed.
So, scape shift, maybe they give damnation the 1-2 punch.
Tooth and nail.
Somebody said Ravages of War, and I was like, that's not the dumbest thing. It might be one, like, absurdly...
Somebody at my shop said Ravagers of War.
Well, they did,
Genesis Wave...
Yeah,
there'll be a lot of Commander cards.
There'll be like the Commander Legacy overlap joke. So it could even be something like Mana Drain, somebody said. Is that
Do we get Demonic Tutor?
I mean, Detutor would be pretty tight. It would make those stupid angelic demonic ones a little bit less expensive also. Those are pretty
Force of Will, maybe.
I mean,
maybe Mana Drain.
I mean, it could be Vamp Tutor, could be, you know, I don't know, man. They're going to be good, for sure. Like, they're always good. Even the bad ones are good. Like,
we thought they were going to be...
complain about Ornithopter and like, nope, I'll take an Ornithopter.
We thought they were going to be enchantments back, remember, when we first found out about Amonkhet and, oh, there's going to be gods, so the masterpieces will probably be enchantments because it'll be, you know, all the gods. But I agree, Invocation sounds like instant and sorcery. But we'll find out. Maybe it'll end up being something completely different and we'll all look really dumb. But
Cruel Ultimatum.
I'm sure we'll have a lot more Amonkhet news to talk about next week. Yeah, Cruel Ultimatum, Bolas Plane. All right, so let's couple more things here to knock out, but let's do Pick of the Week first.
Pick of the Week, Pick of the Week, Pick of the Week. Time for the Pick of the Week.
I'll go. I got a weird one. It's not... God, this is probably the most DJ pick of the week that I've ever done, maybe. Because it's in the same line as, like, Necrotic Ooze, Mirror Superion, Heartless Summoning, all those good ones that really have no actual reason to go up right now, but, like...
Yeah, I call those Ryan Bouchard picks of the week.
Alright, because supply is just... It's a future sight rare, okay? So that gives an idea of how low the supply is. And I feel like this card is going to be just good one day. Maybe in Modern, maybe in... I don't know. Does anyone know what the card Nyx does?
Yep.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Counter target spell if no mana was spent to cast it.
Yeah. Like... Wizards has got to screw up at some point in the next few years. Like, print something where it's like an oopsie where something gets to be cast for free, and then maybe this is an answer to it in Modern in the future. I don't know. But, like, it's basically on the reserve list, right? Like, they have no reason to print this in any correct, product yeah. ever. And, like, the second it sees any play in anything, it's suddenly like an $8 card. And, like, I don't. This is just the kind of card that I want to own 40 or 50 of in a box that I get for 25 cents each. And it's just like a long-term,
yeah, hold. Zero I mean, risk, high reward. Bouchard yeah. loves that. He made money off of Death Shadow so many times.
I thought you were gonna say Plow Under. Those are his two big ones.
Well, Plow Under, it was sort of like, hey, everybody wants these for a tournament, and nobody in the room has them. That's how he made money on Plow Under. That wasn't like
well, they. I mean, they legitimately spiked that weekend. Like it was a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to own like 100 Knicks. And then just have them forever.
Yeah, I mean, so there's not a infinite copies. It's at an all-time high on MTG stocks.
Well, that and the foils jumped relatively recently too. They're not selling.
You're right.
They're not selling for like an inflated amount because the market price on TCG hasn't adjusted. So the market price for foils is still $3, but the cheapest listing you can find for foils is like $12. So.
No,
I mean, somebody probably just bought out a playset of foils, and that was all the foils in stock on the internet.
Yeah, it's but probably like, true.
This card, like, God, Wizards make so many oopsies. Like, maybe like they just make oopsies sometimes with things costing zero mana. And
well, yeah, like the expertise cycle, right? It's this little fringe thing, but it's not. It didn't happen. But when you create cards like that, it's not inconceivable that they actually could have been a part of the metagame. Like you said, that happens all the time. And then you're right. Nyx would have been perfect. Like, it has your fringe, restore balance, living end uses, but it also would have been great against the expertise decks.
And this stuff can, like, yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, every...
Counter Chrome Mox Lotus, Mox Opal.
Or, like, Lotus Bloom, or just, like, crap, I don't know. Most of Wizards' mistakes that they have made throughout the course of their existence as a company have been with free mana. Like, most of their mistakes have been with things being able to be cast for zero mana. And, like, I get that Nyx would be a lot better if itself was free to cast, but, like, I don't know. Like, if you go Island Go and then you have this for their weird broken turn one play that doesn't cost any mana, I don't. It's from Future Sight.
Yeah, that's the real argument, because honestly, it's not necessarily better in today's... day and time than any other one mana blue spell. Like, Spell Pierce is probably going to get most of the same stuff here and be a lot more flexible, but you're right, it would take very little for it to spike. Okay, I'll jump in, and I'm going to go opposite this week and say a card to sell, and that is Swans of Bryn Argyl. So for people who don't know, Seismic Swans, the old Seismic Assault and Swans of Bryn Argyl deck, where you pitch lands at your swans with your Seismic Assault, then you draw two for every land you throw at it until you draw your deck, have all your lands, and throw them at your opponent to win. It was an extended, it was an extended deck for a little bit back in the day. It was off and on a really fringe Modern deck, but what happened is it won TCG Player States in Idaho, a 22-person tournament, a couple weeks ago.
Oh my god!
And he beat
people. That's an
F&M. You say that, but if you actually look at the guy's tournament report, because he posted it on Reddit, he beat real decks to win. Like, he went like 4-0-1 or 4-1 or something in the Swiss, and then won the top eight. Like, his deck list is like got some weird one ofs. It's clearly budget, but you know, I recorded videos with it the next day. Saffron Olive released videos with it, and the deck is a lot of fun. It's a bad deck, though, but Swans of Bryn Argyl is $5 as of this podcast off its lows of a buck. So it's in Modern Masters 2015. It's in Shadowmoor. If you have any of these or you can dig them up, please do yourself a favor. And if you can find a buy list taking them for $1, do it. Don't hold on to these. This deck is never going to be seen again. In any other capacity than what it was, where it wins a 20-person tournament once every 4 years or something, right? Like, this is not a new pillar of the metagame. This is about as, you know, it's a sweet budget deck, sure. And you know, maybe in that metric, swans can save $5. But I don't think anybody who didn't build seismic swans in the past 2 weeks is going to build it now, right? It's had its time in the sun. If you have any, get rid of them. Jason, are you still sticking with Fluctuator?
Yeah, if you guys think that's lame, there's another thing.
I don't think it is. You just gave it early.
There's another thing you should be aware of, and that's the fact that Foil Panharmonicon got bought out. I don't hate the non-foils at their current price. I don't know how much cheaper they can really reasonably get.
They're still falling, for what it's worth, the non-foils are.
I mean, I'm not saying cash.
Is that because they're getting played less than standard, Corbin?
It hasn't really been played in standard in maybe like 3 months. Basically, since Aether Revolt came out, the Panharmonicon decks died because they're just these sweet mid-range decks that can't beat copy tech, cannot beat copycat decks. Can't talk.
Cat got your tongue?
Yeah, right. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. In fact, it's almost certainly part of it, right? But it's also just the no one like Kaladesh is at peak supply.
Yeah, that's basically it. And I think people are basically, they're still going to be playing limited with Kaladesh packs. You know, they're still sealed and stuff going on, so we're probably at peak supply, but like there'll still be copies inching out there. But I think most of the people that got them for EDH for the time being have got them, but that's just a card that's just long-term just going to tick up. So I think you just start trading. And if you trade other standard stuff away, even if Panharmonicon's price goes down a little bit, so did the card you traded away. If you trade away a standard card, that's going to be poop in a few months, and then Panharmonicon will be, you know, starting to rebound. So
do you think that people should be targeting foils? Because, like, Panharmonicon is the kind of card I can see being in three supplemental sets in a row.
I don't really know. It's foils are definitely a lot safer, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's just no data for foil demand in EDH cards. It's hard because you look at EDH only stuff, and really most of the EDH only stuff is stuff that's older. So you look at something like Mana Reflection, and you're like, is this expensive in foil because there weren't any, or is it expensive in foil because EDH has the power to do that to dump stuff like that? Then why isn't?
Well, I would say I don't know. Here's a recent example, because there was a while when they were doing M sets where they were throwing in a really nice commander card every few years, like we had Sanguine Bond, but and then Door of Destinies. But Darksteel Forge, for instance, was one that when it was reprinted in 2014, the card hit a low in paper on the non-foils of $1.50 and of foils of about $6. Today, you know, 4 years later, it's $7.50 in non-foil and $15 to $18, sort of depending on where
the multiplier actually went down.
The multiplier changed, but I would say importantly, it showed that there is foil growth on sort of just a staple sort of card, right? Like Panharmonicon will be. Panharmonicon, I think, goes in a lot more decks than Darksteel Forge, and Darksteel Forge is $18 in foil. And if Panharmonicon's $15, the point being it climbed over a few years.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it should have climbed more.
It doubled. Yeah.
But the multiplier was cut in half, so it didn't double, really. It was flat.
Well, the multiplier was less than less than two.
What were the numbers before? I thought it was like a 4 or 4x. Yeah, you said it was $6.150. That's a 4x multiplier. Now it's like a 2.5.
Yeah, you're right.
So that to me doesn't. That's not very robust growth.
Yeah, but and Darksteel Forge did shrug off several reprints. It's just, you know, I just look at Panharmonicon and I see this as infinitely reprintable. This could be in a commander deck every year for the rest of commander decks existing.
I mean, they don't really print a ton of stuff back to back. They would do it every other year, and I think it could shrug it off. But
I definitely think it would shrug it off. But just also combine that, you know, Kaladesh, brand new, blah blah blah. Like, I just think that maybe if you can get foils in the $10 to $12 range, it's a safer hold than $12 worth of regular ones.
Well, I'm definitely not advocating right after a buyout. I don't think you want to buy in. I think you wanted to be on these before the buyout, and if you weren't, then it's probably too late. Don't worry about it.
The buyout only took the average price from 11 to 15. It didn't change that much.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right. It's 33%.
I don't hate these at 15, for sure. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, trade standard crap away. That's sort of like how I pick up a lot of the stuff. It's just, I know that this card is a vehicle. And who's going to give a crap about a vehicle in a year and a half? So you pick up Lifecrasher's Beast here, which is just dumb, or you pick up Panharmonicon or Paradox Engine. Although Paradox Engine, man, I don't know. That card could be on the chopping block. I just went out and bought a copy, which is just tempted the Rules Committee to ban it.
That card is just a little too good, I think.
Which one?
Paradox Engine. And some people...
Oh, yeah, it's got to go, man.
Two different camps. People are real polarized. People are like, this is nowhere near as bad as Prophet was. And you can deal with it. It's so easy to remove. And then some people are like, yeah.
But Prophet's also like, banned.
Well, Prophet, so... you gave it flat. You gave stuff flash, and you took every turn. But people are like, you don't need to take every turn with Paradox Engine, because you just end the game right there. It combos with too much stuff. That new card they printed, that Vault, where you peek at the top card, and you can play it, and then if you play three cards, you can play one for free. How dumb is that with Paradox Engine? It's like, oh, I just played my whole deck this turn. Magic's fun. Like, I don't know, man. Everyone sort of acted like it dodged a bullet when they did their last meeting for the committee. But, like, reasonably, they're going to give it at least 3 to 6 months to see if people can deal with it. So I kind of think it could go when Amonkhet comes out. I'm really nervous about it. And I think it's a little too good. I don't really, frankly, know what Wizards was thinking.
Yeah, well...
You know, it kind of shot my dramatic reversal spec in the foot, too, because I was like, oh, people are playing dramatic reversal because it combos with Isochron Scepter. Just kidding. Everything in your deck combos with everything now. And you just
go fabricate for it. I mean, I don't want Wizards to be hamstrung by what the Rules Committee and Commander is going to want to do. I don't
What's this card for, then? Do they make this for Standard with no artifact mana? Like, what is this for, then?
They made it because it's an set about inventions. And creativity, and it as a card opens up a lot of doors. For instance, the deck you just mentioned with the new brick counter card or whatever, and it's not
is standard because they don't have the mana rocks to like even benefit from it. You don't benefit if your land's not on tap. So like
that's not going to stop the guy from building that deck.
I can tell you that Saffron Olive has already tweeted today the two cards next to each other and said coming to article soon, right? Like that's what they want those cards to do. Like that's fine. That's a segment of the population that plays Magic who they make cards for. I don't want them to be like, this is too good in Commander, we can't print it.
I mean, I get that, but like they had to have something in mind when they did it. I don't know. I think it's deal with a bull, but I thought Prophet was deal with a bull, so fuck me, right?
Anyways, all right, so anything else before we get out of here, you guys?
Nope.
Nah. Right,
well, I'll be at GP or San Antonio.
Send us emails.
Yep.
Patrons, send us emails.
Non-patrons to the back of the line, but still send us emails.
I just got back from GP Orlando. I did not catch my Heracross or my Corsola. But I have another shot this weekend at GP San Antonio.
Was
did
that you start English?
Like, how far did you get on Sun or Moon? Or
I played for like 4 hours. So I bought a DS so I could play Pokemon Sun. I'm like 4.5 hours in. I don't... The first one. Okay. I'm right at the ferry. I pause right before I take the ferry.
There are fairies in that game? I thought it was just Pokemon.
There's actually fairy Pokemon.
As in, yeah. There are fairy-type Pokemon.
But also we were talking about boats.
Why don't you say boat, then?
We did it to confuse you.
Anyways, I'll be in San Antonio this weekend if anybody wants to come up and say hi. But also, on that note, it's Team Unified Modern. The 60-second synopsis of that format is that format is that any deck that has a card in it besides a non-basic land, none of the other decks on theme can have it. Even if you're just playing one copy, you do. It's not that you get four copies to go around. You get the card in one deck.
You said besides non-basic land, so you can share non-basics?
Sorry, besides basics.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, including... Good catch. Including,
I wasn't being pedantic, I just actually didn't
know. No, you're right. Including, because that's one of the big things is who gets Stomping Ground. That's one of the big things the format sort of rests on because it's in so many decks. So keep in mind, whatever decks you see from that tournament this weekend, it's going to be a very highly metagamed choice. It's going to be, I imagine we're going to see four Death Shadows decks in the top four. It's a very weird tournament, so be wary of reading too much into what you see, because there's a lot of constraints being put on people. That said, it's going to be awesome and a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to being there. All right, well, that'll do it for this week, guys. You can laugh at how dumb we sound looking back at Amonkhet's stuff, but we'll be back next week.
They were enchantments, you stupid nerds.
Yeah. We'll be back next week when we actually start getting some more previews for the set. So thanks for listening.